Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Gun Dukes and Bell, the number one sports talk show in Atlanta for your ride home.
You strong? They said, I'm strong if you strong. I said, we strong, man.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Coming up, you guys will get a chance to hear D. Orlando Ledbetter as a part of our interview today we did with D. He was covering the Clemson Pro Day today, and teams trying to figure out who they might want to take off that Clemson National Championship team. They got a lot of guys that are sending to the pros, man, and we could use a few of them. Hey, quick reminder, join me this Saturday from 3 to 5 at Meehan's Public House in Sandy Springs for a St. Patty's Day party sponsored by Lambay Irish Whiskey. Yum, yum. Come out. Support St. Baldrick's Shaves from noon to 4 as people go ball for the cure for children's cancer research.
Hey, it's a good charity, great job. So for folks out there, you can get involved and you shave your noggin.
Yeah, it's easy way to get involved if you you want to participate. Mike, we've been talking a lot today about last night's match. Obviously, you heard from Brad Guzan, and you know, it wasn't ultimately the result we wanted, as we said in CONCACAF, but it's something to build on, and that's good for our club. But the cool thing today is, if you're just joining us, they got their rings from winning MLS Cup last year. And if you've not seen them, we retweeted them, but they are cool.
Check it out. I put them up, C-Dukes and Mike Bell, ATL. And the thing about the game last night is we knew it was going to be a ridiculous uphill battle. But you can look at the big picture and say, you know, even though the refereeing was like right out of that movie Victory, where Pele and Sylvester Stallone and Michael Caine got to take on the Germans during World War II, they had the Allied prisoner of war taking on the Germans.
That's a good movie, man.
And the officiating in CONCACAF is just about as one-sided as you'd expect in that movie. But in the case of the CONCACAF, we've learned to expect it and accept it, unfortunately. But you take away a 10-minute sequence of ridiculous foul call, and we may have even taken these guys to penalty kicks. So it's certainly a feather in our cap. More importantly, it's something to build on. You heard Brad talk about it. Now, we'll be bellyaching if we put out a dud against Philadelphia on Sunday night, but hopefully they will build off it, and then we get a chance to really catch our breath. You basically almost have a month off with a few games in between where you can get into learning what the Frank DeBoer really wants to do with this team. The guys already had a team meeting. Brad told us that it was basically they aired everything out. Nothing was really, you know, left, and that's good to hear. And you saw a good result at about a 20-minute sequence where we looked great last night.
More about Atlanta United in our top three at 6. Also, today, Mike, we find out that the Falcons signed a couple of guys, and we're going to get into this, but we get a tight end and we get a kick returner, a guy that Falcon fans are familiar with and then may not be aware that they are familiar with him.
Talk about Kenyon Barner?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you might remember him because Matt Bosher done blowed him up.
Boom!
Saturday or Sunday before Christmas earlier this year up in Carolina. For those who don't remember, it was just an unbelievable hit. Now, Barner is a speed merchant, Carl. He's a burner, so he's a dude that we would use as a kick return guy. And Justin Hardy's a free agent, by the way, for guys who are asking. And they, for whatever reason, never gave him any real shot at that job. But Kenyon Barner does, aside from when Matt Bosher smoked him, he does a pretty good job returning kicks. He's done it for about 6 teams. He's bounced around the NFL, so he's coming very cheaply.
Yeah. Justin Hardy, isn't that funny? We thought he might pop, you know, and he never
really
did. I
never understood why they didn't use his speed. Now, he came from one of those offenses in ECU where that was always the knock on him, but he struggled sometimes with his route running and doing the things they needed because he comes from one of those offenses where the playbook is Yosemite Sam, a picture of Al Roker, and a piece of pizza. You know, and so he struggled sometimes with that. He certainly has a lot of speed. And for those who are not familiar, I'm talking about those cards you see on the sideline in college games. He was at ECU. I like Justin, but he just never really became the impact guy more than he was on the margins all the time with this team.
No, it's a good point you brought it up there. Hey, man, you can hit us up, 404-741-0929, D-LED on the way. Our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, it is our phone number as well. And again, follow us across all social media platforms. Hey, Brian, let's get to the top three.
Time for Dukes and Bell, top three. The top three stories of the day.
Can I count it off?
One positive you take from last night, was it the Nagbe pass to Joseph? Boy, that looked amazing.
We kept talking about it, guys. We even brought it up on the show yesterday. We were out at the Gulch, and thanks to all the United fans and all the support groups we got to hang out with and enjoy a nice cold Hey Man Ale. I hope you guys enjoyed the brew we were passing along. But last night, you saw it, Carl. things starting to move. Now, Brad and I were joking around. I said, yeah, we're always missing that last pass. But this is one where they made a perfect connection. Nagbe basically threads the needle, and it sounded like this.
Ambrose stutter steps, wanted to come forward, instead has to pass to Joseph. Off the near touchline, Joseph ahead to Nagbe, top of the 18. He'll turn back to Joseph, top of the 6, shot, score! There's one. Now Atlanta United needs two more here with about 15 minutes to play.
Yeah, man, it was exciting. Again, last night I thought the energy was there, as Brad mentioned. The offense was a little bit more fluid. We need to attack more. We've got to get more shots on goals. But as Mike said, this team is really good, man. Monterrey is the real deal.
Yeah, man, thanks to United, we are really totally spoiled rotten. Had those field-level sweet passes.
Field sweets.
And being as close as I was, it doesn't translate necessarily to television. Monterrey, it looks like those guys you see in the Bundesliga or in Italy or especially in the English Premier League. It's one thing to be big. It's one thing to be big and fast.
Yeah.
And at times, if you were watching the match, like, we would kick the ball and you think, oh, wow, we got this. We're in space. And all of a sudden, there's four guys on the man with the ball. It's amazing to watch it in person. That's why they're considered a super club. That's why they win a lot of matches. It was unprecedented for them to lose the way they did to us. We've heard how good they were against the teams from MLS. So that's a positive, right, man? That's something you can build on. And the one thing we know we got is great defense. LGP went out because of yellow card accumulations. Miles Robinson has become a star on this team. And it's only a few games in the season. It's only going to get better.
I still want to see Petey do more. He, again, still looks a little bit out of place. But you see
how good he can bend it, though,
well,
right?
There are times. Listen, there are moments. But for him to really be the player we expect him to be, this thing's got to mesh better. And Jason Longshore addressed that today on the show.
He's going away to the Argentine national team after Sunday's match. Sometimes players, when they get back into a familiar environment, and Piti Martinez with his national team teammates, that could break him out of this a little bit. You're also going to get an extra week off. You come back from international break to play Columbus at the end of the month. You'll have everybody in camp for that two-week period before you get back into league play. It might be then that you get an extra 2 weeks of training and get, you know, ready to hit the ground in whatever permutation that Frank DeBoer is going to throw out.
We need this break, man. Let's go get a W on Sunday, all right? And by the way, that game will be on Star 94.1 on Sunday. Pre-game at 6:30, 7 o'clock tip.
There really is no
no
correlation between, like, Major League Baseball to compare it to the Braves or the Falcons. The best way you could say it, like, Carl, it would be like the Hawks playing, like, 5 games in a 7-day period. I mean, that's what this has come down to. I mean, they're playing almost every 3 days. So nobody wants to hear excuses, but when you combine all the things we've talked about, the new system, some new faces, it's taken a minute. And that's about that last pass. Brad Guzan talked about it. We're just one more touch from finding that chemistry, knowing, okay, my guy zigs as opposed to zags, and that's where we're missing, and that's where we're not getting those scoring opportunities.
Yeah. Listen, I'm just hoping things continue to mesh. Let's build on last night's performance. Hey, story number two, if you missed it, Hawks continue to win, Mike, and you keep saying, man, what are the Dallas Mavericks doing? Hawks blow out Memphis last night, and it got started early with Trae Young and an alley-oop to Kevin Huerter.
So now the Grizzlies out of the timeout have the ball. They get it now in the middle to Avery Bradley, and he has it taken away by Torian Prince, 3-on-1. He goes over to an alley-oop now from Trae Young, and it's jammed home by Kevin Huerter. Beautiful play that time by the Hawks, running the 3-on-1 to perfection.
Please! Kevin, don't hurt her.
Yeah. Herder's just a pleasant surprise, guys. Kind of an afterthought for many of the Hawks fans out there. You're seeing it night in, night out. Another monster night for John Collins, 11-17 from the floor with a double-double. Talked about the alley-oop. That's the one that made SportsCenter, where basically the beautiful pass from Trae in transition. Trae does his thing. I mentioned again, we got one more year with his contract. Alex Len goes for 20. So there's a lot of good things. All right, forget it. We're not getting to Zion. We're not getting anywhere, because if the Mavericks keep stinking, and by the way, NBA, throw another $500,000 fight at Mark Cuban. This is ridiculous.
Tanking.
I mean, they were good enough earlier in the season.
Oh, Luka.
Right? Porzingis, all this stuff. I mean, Rick Carlisle is, it's not even close, guys. Not that I would make you watch Western, you know, stay up late tonight, watch a game on the West Coast. But, I mean, it's just ridiculous. Looks like they're going to get to that fifth pick, which where we pick. And that means we lose the protected pick, and we have to wait till next year to get the Mavericks pick.
Yeah, that is something that could play out if things keep playing out the way they are. But I will say this, I'm enjoying – how can you not?
We're ahead of schedule, brother.
Are you watching John Collins? I mean, it's not like a – he's not giving you 10 and 10. He's giving you 25, 28, 33. He had a 33-20 night the other night, and now he's giving you 27-12. Mike, he's killing it. So, Collins, Trey, we got stars. We said it early in the season. You know, I recognize this, and everybody's like, well, stop, man. We are ahead of schedule, to Mike's point.
So you're going to go get some free agents in the offseason now? Change the plan?
Listen, you're going to have plenty of money. We got plenty of money to go spend, all right? So the attraction now is you see how Trey facilitates things. He doesn't have to give you 20 every night. Trey could actually be a guy to give you 12 and affect the game in such a way, Mike, that the Hawks have they win a lot of games. Either way, we're just talking about the two guys that we've been spending a lot of time on this season. Hey, man, story number three, you brought up Zion. He's back. Zion's going to play for Duke. Would you have done this? Because they're going to be in the tournament. I'm talking about the NCAA tournament. Why bring him back for the ACC tournament, Mike? Because he's going to be playing against Syracuse. He's missed about a month of play. Zion is back, and everybody wants to see, you know, what's going to happen tonight, what kind of shoes he's going to have on. He's going to have Nikes on because Duke's a Nike school.
Be something to be rolled out there as a Adidas.
Would
man.
You stop it?
Dan Wolkin said the internet would explode. It would be interesting. And now.
He's the only guy on the floor with Adidas on.
He's wearing British Knights. Every time he hits the floor, they're glowing in the dark. Wow. I mean, look, it's not just him. Other guys have ripped through shoes. It just happens to be it was the biggest moment in the biggest game of the college football, college basketball season. Speaking of college hoops in the ACC tournament, if you didn't see it, unbelievable buzzer beater by Florida State's man, coming down. And I was like, oh, we're done, because I try not to watch the TV while we're doing the radio show.
Yeah, it's hard.
But FSU had blown about a 6 and an 8 point lead to Virginia Tech. Come back. You'll see the highlights when you get home. It's just unbelievable last 5 minutes in that ACC match.
Yeah. And listen, I get it. They're trying to get the rust off of Zion. I don't know. I just said I would have waited for the tournament. But then, you know, if you need him to play up to his capability, do you feel like he's gotten enough playing time since being off this entire time? So maybe Mike Krzyzewski, you know, maybe he knows what he's talking about, Mike.
Just trying to get that number one seed. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, Carolina, Roy Williams, bring your saggy butt in here. We want some payback.
Hey, there is another story that we want to talk about. We don't have a lot of details, but this is a story that a lot of Georgia folks will be familiar with.
Yeah, Coach Rush Probst down in Colquitt County, one of the winningest high school coaches in America, a team that's won some big championships here. He, of course, was at Hoover, Alabama back in the day. He was on an administrative leave. He'd been suspended, and WALB in Albany is now reporting that Rush Probst has, in fact, been relieved. He's fired down there in Colquitt County. As we said, one of the big, you know, the best high school coaches in the country.
Yeah. I mean, he did it in Alabama at Hoover, right? Went to Colquitt County. And, Mike, they've won, what, two state championships, I think, since
he's been
down
there? Yeah, I think they were ranked. Now, they have their own system for doing it, but they were considered the number one high school team in the country last year.
So, guy knows what he's doing, but it is the report is, what, personal reasons?
Whatever it was, the superintendent, and, again, pure speculation at this point, but he's an interesting character. Charismatic guy, fiery guy. Fell in, I guess, with a State Athletic Association didn't like him headbutting his players and all that stuff. But the dude is a winner. He'll land on his feet.
Yeah. I'm a big high school football guy, and every year they play.
I mean, provided the personal stuff isn't so creepy that nobody would hire him here in the state of Georgia.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, that's why I'm curious to hear what the story is. But, you know, they usually play in the kickoff classic every year, no matter where he's been, and his teams are very competitive. I want to find out what happened.
Squidbill's like, well, damn, he had a double life, two families living in Hoover.
Okay.
Who wants that stress?
Okay. Well, you know what? I know it's true, but still.
I'm just giving Mike real info.
It's true.
You don't have to be that kind of guy. You remember the old, what was the show, Good Morning on CBS? Charles Kuralt. He had a double life. He had like a family somewhere in the Midwest and one on the East Coast.
Not Charles Kuralt.
Look, you can look it up.
Not Charles Kuralt. Yes. Not. This is Sunday morning.
You look it up, pal.
No.
Blew my mom. She's like, don't say that about him.
Didn't he get in like a big Winnebago and travel the country for them?
I believe so.
Hold Charles Kuralt? Really?
I'm going to look up Charles Kuralt double life. See, you're going to say this about us. You're going to learn something every day on Dukes and Bell.
Every day. Informative.
It might be the most useless piece of information, but you're going to learn it. The double life of Charles Kuralt.
Come
Washington Post article. Between 67 and the 90s, 600 pieces of On the Road. You were just talking about the On the Road segment.
On the Road, that was it.
But apparently, the traveling man, as he's called, this a picture of his Winnebago, talked about his folksy style. He died in 97 at the age of 62. Mrs. Kuralt in New York City was shocked to discover that her husband had another family in Montana.
Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't laugh, but it's funny.
So it's, so the point I'm getting to is ones you just never expected. Final story, it's the players, Carl, down in Punta Vedra. Tommy Fleetwood at 7-under. Keegan Bradley also at 7-under. And then Rory McIlroy, 5-under. Tiger Woods a few strokes back at 2-under.
All right, Players is underway, guys. And remember, golf changed its schedule. So that's why they're at the Players.
It's early.
Earlier than they normally are. Hey, coming up.
Oh, Tiger Woods drops a stroke. Tiger right now at 1-under at 15, about to head towards that water hole, the island hole at 16.
Who should the Falcons target?
Or 17. 16 is the par 5. 17 is the par 3.
You're staying in character.
Back
I like
to
this.
You, Carl.
Who should the Falcons target? If you had one Clemson defensive lineman to take, who would it be? Now, they're all going to the NFL, and they all potentially could be first-round picks, certainly three of the four. But you only get one. D-Led helps us answer that question, and we also ask him about the guys we picked up this week in free agency, Jamon Brown and James Carpenter, guys, and listen to what D-Led has to say. It's very interesting.
Also, a little surprise. One of the guys that you and I had targeted, at least we thought would be a perfect fit, the Falcons, are they slow rolling this guy, or is there a reason why they're not talking to him? You'll find out.
I'm Charles Durov. The U.S. oil industry, how the Persian Gulf crisis is putting all of us over the barrel. That's one of our stories this Sunday morning.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. We got a potato chip-related game winner. We stumbled onto that subject earlier today, so stay tuned for that. Live inside the Kia Studios this hour of the show brought to you by Kia. Go to KiaDealers.com for details. D. Orlando Ledbetter joined us earlier in the show. He's up at Death Valley for the Pro Day. We asked him all about the Clemson Tigers, and there's about three or four who look really good in a Falcons uniform. First thing we asked, well, obviously, you got to touch Howard's Rock, right?
I didn't come down the hill today, but I've seen that happen a lot of times over the years.
D-Led, we signed a couple of offensive guards. I want to get your assessment this week of the signings of Jamon Brown and James Carpenter and what this means for our offensive line moving forward.
Yeah, definite upgrades, Carl, no question about it. Both guys are serviceable or better NFL linemen. They've combined to play 135 games. You know, they do have some downsides, both of them. Carpenter played in an outside zone scheme in Seattle, but not very well. So they both look like more power blockers than the scheme fit that we were looking for. So that's signaling some change among our offensive line. And Jamin had a tough time in L.A. or with the Rams, but kind of stabilized things up there in New York. He's a mauler in the run game, whereas his pass protection has been an issue at times. So, but still definite upgrades, a 26-year-old and a 30-year-old guys to move forward with. I still don't think it pulls you off a lineman if somebody really, really good is there at 14.
And that's the question, D. We felt that, you know, at some point, especially with all those contracts we're going to have to handle down the road on the defensive side with Debo and then later on Keanu Neal, having an inexpensive offensive lineman under contract would be nice as a draft pick.
Yeah, no question about it. It'd be great if he could play.
Are they just scared away from it? They're just going to continue to do it this way through free agency?
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't worked. The drafting thing hasn't worked. But this can't be the long-term fix. Jake's worked. They got him. He's the only draft pick on that line. So. I guess when they're up high enough, they're okay with it. But, it's three linemen, the Florida kid, Cody Ford out at Oklahoma, and Jonah Williams. When do they go? You know, which one of them do you like? Do you like them enough to take them at 14? Can they swing? Can they play two spots for you right away? So they're going to do their homework on that, and we'll see how they go.
Now, D. Orlando Ledbetter joining us, guys, Falcons beat writer, and he is at Clemson's Pro Day today, and obviously there are a few guys there that we might be interested in. Christian Wilkins, obviously Dexter Lawrence, Cleland Farrell. What did you see and what did you hear about these guys in their Pro Day today?
Lawrence had talked to the Falcons and Austin Bryant, the one in and the one defensive tackle, the big defensive tackle. Christian Wilkins told me he has not talked to him at the combine or here or had anything set up for him. And Cleland Farrell, the real articulate young man, who re-aggravated a toe and didn't work out today. So it wasn't a really good, productive pro day in regards to seeing anybody do much of anything. Just some of the lower-level guys working drills and stuff like that. Trayvon Mullen, the cornerback, is also in that group, and his folks said the Falcons are looking at him too pretty heavily. So, you know, certainly the Falcons have a history of taking Clemson guys.
Right.
Interesting that they haven't talked to Christian Wilkins, but I thought he'd be in their wheelhouse at 14. And Lawrence is the bigger of the kids up there at 320. 340, some people have him at. And so, you know, that'd be a big old plug to put right next to Grady if he could, you know, you get over the fact that he has the PED suspension.
Right. Dexter Lawrence, he goes a little bit higher in the draft, or I should say lower in the draft, around like 25 and higher. Christian Wilkins, there's some mock drafts where we get him, but D-Led just said they haven't talked to the man. Ed Oliver sounds like the guy you think Dan Quinn's salivating over?
Yeah, but he's gone. He's long gone. He's not. He's got to go make it to 14. He won't make it past Detroit. So unless they're going to trade up to go get him, you know, I don't see Ed Oliver getting to the Falcons.
It is D. Orlando Ledbetter. D, when we talk about, you know, skill positions, we've had a couple of guys on our program already who said, listen, I don't know if I'd take either one of these corners. We're talking about Greedy Williams or DeAndre Baker out of Georgia in the first round. Do you disagree with that? Because we know that the Falcons also are in need of another corner.
Well, they got to take one in the first round. There's a school of thought that said that because the top three corners after them, they all drop off. And the other one is Trayvon Mullen, who is Lamar Jackson's cousin. Mm-hmm. Up here at Clemson, ran really, really fast. He's bigger than Baker, ran a 4.47. Baker ran that 4.5-something. You know, they don't like his work ethic is what we're hearing. And, you know, Greedy Williams won't tackle anybody. So, if you know, now we kind of got to switch over to Mullen and do some homework on him to see if he's worthy of 14. You know, the Falcons got to get a corner because, you know, they cut their top two of their top three corners. So, and there's not going to be one in the second or the third round that's NFL ready unless their scouts have done a really good job of finding them.
It's the AJC's Dear Orlando Ledbetter guys live on the WadeFord.com hotline from up at Clemson's Pro Day. So, again, if you just missed what D said, yeah, there's not great rankings or numbers as we talked to the scouts about the corners. And they didn't go and get a corner in free agency, D, because that market was kind of either expensive and then it kind of dropped down too. So we're kind of forced to go pick a guy at some point in this draft as a corner.
And the good thing, Mike, is that one of my good agent friends today said, you know, that there are 16 defensive tackles with first round grades. So you can get the D tackle later.
Okay.
It might not be Dexter Lawrence, but there's somebody, you know, with a first round grade you can get at 14 in the second round. Maybe not in the third, but you certainly can go with your major need at 14 and come back to the tackle in the second round, maybe the third. And we saw that last year where they went, surprised us, went wide receiver early, and right. Then they come back to the tackle in the third with Deidre Sanat. They can kind of do that again here this year, go corner in the first and come back to tackle later.
D, are there any updates? I see, you know, the post by Keanu Neal and some of the other guys that are working to get back. Any updates on their physicality as far as, you know, where they're at in their rehab?
Yeah, Coach Quinn gave it to us at the combine, and we kind of got buried it all in all that stuff. I should just pulled it out and made an injury report, but I can go down the list for you.
Okay.
They're not expecting anybody back before training camp. Keanu's ahead of the game. They're being real slow with Ricardo because you've seen where some guys come back from that and blow the other one.
Right.
You know, Croy didn't. Spoon did. Those are the two major ones. Devontae's running from the sports hernia surgery. And Brandon Fusco is not running yet because that's a broken ankle. You got to wait for that to heal first, and then you start the conditioning part of it. And, you know, those are the four I remember off my head. If anybody else, I know I got it. It's just all in that combine stuff, and we need to pull it in. They don't even care about the off-season program for any of these guys. They want them back by training camp for sure and by the beginning of the season secondarily.
All right, D, it's D. Orlando Ledbetter from the AJC breaking it down for us here. What about a guy like Bruce Irvin? Put up some decent numbers. I mean, could they afford him? I mean, he's not gone anywhere yet.
Yeah, they're a little tight. They told me they wanted him at the combine, but it was kind of a wait-and-see type of deal. Joe Siegel, his agent, you know, had Michael Vick. He usually gives us a heads-up if something's going on, but you can read the numbers right now and see they don't have any money for him. But, you know, they can go. They can get Julio done and open up a spot for Bruce, you know, at a $6, $7 million spot. I don't know if he thought he was going to get the 10-14 spot. That's usually what the case is. The guys are overvaluing themselves. But at this point, after the money's gone and all of the $50 million deals are done, then the guys have to sink into reality. And the $6, $7 million deal might be pretty good as opposed to the zero deal sitting at home with us watching it.
D, it's official now, and I say that because the Falcons said they were going to do it, and yesterday Vic Beasley's contract became fully guaranteed, the 12.8. How, in your opinion, do you think Dan Quinn goes about getting him to where he wants him? And that's the thing. We want him at a certain level. You might want him at a certain level. But Dan Quinn, how does he go about this? And does he incorporate maybe the services of some other folks, or is it just DQ all about it?
Well, DQ's name's on the line here. This will be his third defensive line coach. Cox couldn't get it. Brian Young couldn't get it. And Coach Quinn's taking this as a special project on his own. Mm-hmm. And he told us at the combine, we wrote about a couple weeks ago, he said, Vic's probably not going to be real happy with me, but we're getting ready to get after it, you know. And I think him being a former D-line coach, you know, trained Jason Taylor, went to the Hall of Fame. You know, all those guys out in San Francisco he worked with, you know, Vic can't really buck him. You know, if he tell him to do a double move, he better do it. And, you know, taking over Vic, taking over the defense, you know, coach knows that. He knows what's going on here. He's got to win. He's got to get something out of Vic, you know, to warrant them staying with him and paying him this $12.8 million. So, you know, Coach Quinn's going to earn his money this year, basically, is what it amounts to. And he knows it. He told us that, so I'm sure he told it to Vic, too.
All right, D, just to review, we're going to get a little more physical with the offensive line, obviously between Dirk Cutter, Mike Mularkey, and the size of these dudes that we're picking up. I mean, kind of like what the Eagles do, a combination, as you said earlier, like some zone and some inside and some real good old-fashioned just knocking guys off the ball?
Oh, yeah, I think third and one is not going to be a pass play anymore.
inside joke, but not really. Mm-hmm. D-Led, we appreciate you as always, man, and we're looking forward to seeing what you write about these Clemson guys and their pro workouts. It's pro day today down there. D, thanks so much.
Thanks, Colin, Mike. Take care. Thanks for having me.
Always one of our favorite guests talking to D. Orlando Ledbetter, D-Led. Yeah, man, won't be throwing on third and one. Yeah, we've been so finesse over the years, and that's part of the reason why Sark took so much heat back in 2017. Also the fact that he was thrown to the Wolves without anybody to really help him at the job, Carl. But part of that was with the injuries back then. And then again this year, we just couldn't get that yard, you know, and let alone, you know, put a game away by running the football.
Yeah, I think this could really be good for us when I'm talking about the upgraded guards. Let's see if we draft maybe an offensive lineman or two. We'll see. Guys, we got two additional compensatory picks in this upcoming draft on top of all the picks we already have. Now, they may not keep all of these picks, but I just think, Mike, there's a real chance after the first couple of rounds where you feel like you've addressed, you know, the defensive side of the football. Because, guys, with what we've done in free agency, all right, the smart thinking tells you we're going defense. But D-Led just told you, if one of those great offensive linemen that have graded out high in this draft is there at 14, the Falcons have to consider that.
The good news is, guys, because as Carl laid out, there's so many pieces out there. I mean, if you really want DeAndre Baker, despite what all the scouts and all the personnel guys said about him being less than what they thought at the combine, again, he has a chance to re-impress all the scouts at Georgia's Pro Day. But would you roll the dice with DeAndre Baker at 14? Because before the draft, he was clearly a guy that would not maybe not be there, might be gone. And now after the combine, I should say, Carl, now he's projected to be like 15 to 25.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you want him, and we always go after the they build from the back to front here. We rarely go from the front to back. Then they'll probably pull the trigger.
All right, guys, we got to get to our game winner. And before we do, I want to remind you, college basketball fans, it's that time. You'll have a chance to win $1,000. All you need to do is go to our contest page at 929thegame.com and sign up for 929 The Game's March Bracket Challenge. Choose your teams to advance starting this Sunday and participate with the best overall bracket, winning a $1,000 Visa gift card. Sign up now on the contest page, 929thegame.com.
All right, Squid Billy, we got on the subject of potato chips thanks to Yeah Man, No Man. What was the reference to potato chips that got us? Because I've completely forgotten.
It's National Potato Chip Day.
You're darn right it is. What is your favorite chip, Carl? We need the brand and the flavor. 404-741-0929. According to my producer, it is National Potato Chip Day. So what is your favorite chip? I mean, nowadays they've got so many different flavors, like the loaded baked potato flavored potato chip.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
No, listen, they've got all these different flavors. They got whatever you want. You can find it.
Sam, you beg to differ. You know, you're shaking your head at me over
this. It's a little much. The loaded potato thing's a little much.
Oh, no, I love the loaded potato.
I don't need that many flavors on one chip.
Oh, it's a fiesta in your mouth.
Everybody's invited. I like the sour cream and onion, or the cheddar. No, I mean, there's so
sour cream and onions. Yeah. That's keep it simple.
All right, man, let's see what we got here.
Ruffles, by the way, Ruffles.
They have ridges. I like them all, the kettle chips.
No, listen, I love them all, too. Barbecue kettle to mine. That's the one.
There's about, I mean, there's got to be, what, about 100 brands of potato chips that you could probably buy in your store? Let's find out. Hey, man, you're on the radio. What you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Yeah, man, if you're ever in Virginia, there's a small town named Staunton, Virginia. They have a chip named Martin's. It's a barbecue, best barbecue chip you ever have in your life.
Yeah, I'm with you. You can get those with the fried bologna sandwiches at the race at Martinsville, Carl.
Okay. I've never had those.
Yeah.
I've had them a couple of times?
I've had them. Yeah, that's a good chip.
What do they taste like?
You know what? They're kind of like the Zappos.
Okay.
You know, they have the Zappos that's similar but different. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. It's National Potato Chip Day. What's your flavor?
Hey, man.
Hey man.
So I got two. The first one is the cheddar cheese flavored Bugles. Mm. And the second one is the hot flavor and the cap hot fry.
But here's a question, Carl. Can we throw Bugles into the potato chip category?
No.
It is a corn chip.
It is a corn chip. You cannot do that. That would be putting
crocodile in with alligators.
Can't do it. Can't do it.
These are potato chips. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro, on National Potato Chip Day. What's your flavor?
Hey, man.
Hey man.
I love this barbecue, the sweet heat from Golden Flake. My laid-back style is the Hook's plain chip.
Right on.
Okay.
The sweet heat is tasty. You know, Golden Flake, of course, a proud sponsor of the Southeastern Conference, Carl.
Yeah, I do like those.
I'm trying to think of what I grew up with. We had Wise potatoes with the owl. They're really thin up in New York. We have Utz, UTZ. Remember those, Sammy? Because Sammy grew up in Jersey as well. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got?
What's happening, Chief?
Hey, Chief. Man.
Hey, Chief, I appreciate those Ruffles, sour cream Ruffles with some Hey Man. You drink that and make you ask this kind of question like this. Hey, Duke, who did the Saints draft in the first round?
That's what's up.
By the way, Drew Brees, that money that he moved up in his cap hit.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, $40 million the Saints are looking at down the road. They use that money. What do they do with it?
What do they do with it?
They sign Teddy Bridgewater.
What do Saints do?
No, which I think is great for Teddy. He's a good dude. We got to meet him years ago, but I thought they might use that money for other stuff.
Well, listen, Mike, they're loaded. I mean, they feel like they've got everything. I mean, they gave all the draft picks away.
That's true. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Today is about potato chips on National Potato Chip Day. What you got?
I'm liking Lay's, regular Lay's potato chips. Can't beat them, and it's Einstein's birthday and the day Stephen Hawking died. Happy Pi 314. Thank you.
There
Happy
you go.
Pi Day.
314. Look at that.
Today's Pi Day?
Who knew that Jeremiah was going to bring a Stephen Hawking reference throwing at you today?
Today's Pi Day.
Yeah, so you can have a cake shaped like pie. Get it?
Oh, I get it.
Math was never my strong suit. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. It's National Potato Chip Day. What do you got?
Old school Pringles cheddar cheese.
Are you a fan of the Pringles? The first time we saw potato chips in a tennis ball.
Yes. First, we talked about this. I think it was Will Garrett. We were out there talking about Pringles. And the first time you had Pringles. And then you probably had like 70 of them. Because you just can't stop eating. I could probably go through, I don't know, 3 of those Pringles cans, man. Easily. Because you just don't get a whole lot of them.
Yeah, that's the thing. You're not enough. I mean, now, again, none of those potato chip bags are ever any good. Because you know why, Carl?
Air.
Exactly. They're packaged by volume, not weight. Hey, man, you're on the radio. Or is it weight, not volume? I always get that too confused. You're on the radio, bro. It's National Potato Chip Day. What do you got?
Hey.
Hey.
Wise potato chips from New York back in the early 50s, 60s. And they're great taste because it's
Wise.
In a special oil. Yeah, Wise.
Okay.
How long have you been down here in the Witness Relocation Program?
45. my wife likes these kettle chips from Aldi.
Not bad.
Those. Yeah.
I hear you. You straighten her out. Hey, man, you're on the radio.
Thanks for calling and listening, man.
He's a lifer. You're on the air, Montfrere. What do you got for your favorite potato chip?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I got to tell you, I wear Amazon out ordering those Zapp's Voodoo chips.
Zapp's are the ones.
They're good.
Yeah.
Got the sweet.
Is Zapp's the one?
Spice.
Yeah, are those the ones that do the crawfish, too? The crawfish-flavored ones? I believe. Zapp's.
Utz,
okay. Those are tasty too, man.
They are. That's a good call, man. Nobody's mentioned those.
Man, our listeners love their potato chips.
Chris says, Mike, Jay's chips out of Chicago for the game winner. Heard of Jay's chips?
I never heard of no Jay's chips, Carl. I want some Ruffles with my dog, okay, there? When I go to Jody Maroney's, I'm not eating those, okay, there? Okay, tough guy. Hey, you're on the radio, buddy. What do you got for your favorite potato chip?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Well, today it's Doritos, but when I was a kid, it was Charles chips that were delivered to the house in a big old can.
Yeah, man, the Big Ten, Charles chips. Man, we got some dudes who know their potato chips, man.
And they were cheap, too, if I remember correctly.
I remember that Tim and Grandma had Charles chips.
Yeah, Big Ten.
Right.
You keep
like a tan-colored tin.
Yeah,
right?
You keep the tin and use it for something else.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for your favorite potato chip?
Let me see. I don't know if they had them on the West Coast. Granny Goose. And the Lord Struthers thick potato chips. You get some of those, and you slap some turkey chili on top. That's good eating.
Man, I'm not familiar with any one of those brands.
Me neither.
Somebody write that down. Check them out. Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy. It's National Potato Chip Day. What you got?
The whole shebang.
The whole shebang.
That's the flavor. In other words, it's like a loaded flavor.
The whole shebang.
All right, man. Will somebody take notes, for God's sakes? I've got one hand on the mouse.
You like heat with your chips, though?
Yeah, a lot of spice.
Yeah, I like spice, too.
Hey, man, what you got for your favorite potato chip?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Spent quite a time overseas, and Walker's Crisp in the UK, they have prawn cocktail. They also have a Cajun squirrel flavor, as well as a roast lamb and mint.
Wow. Those British, man, they do love their chips. I didn't realize they went to the extremes that we do on the flavors.
Yeah. Now, listen, they're different, though, overseas. They are.
You know, of all things, now, this sounds crazy, right? You figure you're over in Venice, right? You figure if you're waiting on your cocktails here at a bar or restaurant, you might have something kind of uniquely Italian as like a little thing to munch on. Potato chips.
Yeah.
Why is potato chips? They're just lays. They're just piling on the. They keep resetting the bowls of potato chips at Harry's in Venice.
And that chip with the salt on it goes perfect with the cocktails, believe it or not.
Right on, man.
Right?
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for your favorite potato chip?
Hey, man. The best potato chip is Lay's salt and vinegar, but the goat when it comes to chips is Eric Estrada. Thanks.
Eric Estrada. Nice.
Ponch and John.
By the way, the salt and vinegar, you a salt and vinegar guy?
No, my wife loves it. That's not my flavor,
I
man.
Like salt and vinegar. You don't like it, Bo? No?
No, I like the KC Masterpiece Barbecue chips.
Now, those are really good. Yeah. I can eat the salt and vinegar. I don't have a problem with that.
If I had to pick just one, the sour cream and onion.
Okay.
And the barbecue. You know what? Let me go eat a few
bags
tonight.
I'm a barbecue chip guy, hands down.
Hey, man.
Hands down.
You got the final word, buddy. What is your chip o' choice?
Hey, man, I like them good old plain golden flake potato chips, man. That's what Bear Bryant ate. It's good enough for the bear, man. It's good enough for me.
Darn right. When you go to the Bear Museum in Tuscaloosa, Carl, they got that bottle. You see, Bear's got the bottle of Coca-Cola up there on the table. They got the golden. Basically, it's like a living room of like the 70s. Chips, Ponch and John.
Yeah.
All right, for five bonus points.
Don't ask me.
What were Ponch and John's call letters for the California Highway Patrol?
I have no idea, but I will tell you this. This particular show, my best friend, his brother, like you would fist fight his brother if you interrupted
this
show.
They used to have great cameos. Go ahead, Squid.
Was it 7 Mary 3?
And 7 Mary 4. You are correct, sir. Yeah. You want a boatload
of chips. No idea. All right, guys, we'll come back. We'll clear our throats. We'll tell you what's coming up on a big Friday show. Andy Bunker's coming up after we get done tonight. It's Dukes and Bell. Big shout out to D. Orlando Ledbetter today. He was at Clemson for their pro day. Good interview with him talking about our Falcons. Andy Bunker's on the way, though, guys, and we want to give a big shout-out to our man Brad Guzan as well, who stopped by after Atlanta United's match last night. We'll be talking about Philadelphia tomorrow on the show. What you got working tonight, Andy?
Now, there's a lot to talk about. Obviously, free agency has been very interesting thus far. I think the Falcons have been pretty clear about what they're focused on. They're pretty focused on the run game, offensive linemen, tight ends, a third running back in Kenyon Barner. Is that okay with everybody? Like, we understand why they're doing it in the short term, but are you okay with the big picture message that that's sending as well? We'll get into that coming up at 7:20.
University of Oregon guy, huh?
Yeah. 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 And okay. Marvin Hall's probably leaving too. One of the UW guys.
Yeah. You know what?
Still got Desmond Trufant, though.
I told Carl, you know, he's a good dude. We were there in Pittsburgh. I was sitting with all his buddies and one of his relatives, and he was trying to make the team, and he did eventually make the team. Guy caught a monster pass from Matt, you know, but he's inconsistent catching the football.
Yeah.
All right, Andy. Stay tuned, guys. Full show on the way. Hey, Brian, Sam Tarley. By the way, Game of Thrones is on the way, man. I'm excited.
Oh,
April 14th is when it starts. Clear your throat, brother.
Currently rewatching season 6 and season 7, getting prepped for season 8 there.
Mm-hmm.
Zion returns tonight. He's got a message for his critics. For the people that think I should stop playing in college and just focus on the NBA, thanks, but no thanks. Good for him for coming back, playing Syracuse tonight.
That's cool. I can't wait to see what he looks like. Bo Morgan, clear your throat!
I mean, I don't like to rag on the Saints or anything, but when you have your quarterback clear cap space for the team, what you're thinking that they're going to do with it is not sign the backup quarterback who they clearly want to replace him eventually for $7.5 million of the $10 million you cleared. It doesn't make sense why you move a dead money to $40 million in the future years for a backup quarterback.
Mike Bell, clear your throat.
My favorite sport. Yeah, it is my favorite sport. Formula One starts this weekend down under in Melbourne. Sad news.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.